Hey, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. It's great to see everyone here. Great to have everyone online. We are just going to dive right in. So I just want to say I'm so excited to dive into the scriptures together today. I want to say thank you to Pastor Steve for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And I want to be honest up front. I was praying earlier this week, and I was working on a different message. And I really felt the Lord tugging my heart in a slightly different direction. So this is different than I was originally intending, but I really believe the Lord put this on my heart for a reason, and I think He wants to speak to us today. Amen? Amen. So here we go. Let's go. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to talk to you today about the promise of sustaining grace. The promise of sustaining grace. As you continue to turn there, let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given to us to dive into your scriptures together and to learn what you have for us to learn this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just open up our hearts, that you would give us grace to hear your voice today, to align our hearts with you, and to walk away from this place more free than we walked into it. Lord, please do an amazing work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I have a question for you today. Is the Christian life easy or is it hard? I'm hearing some hards. Is it easy or is it hard? Yell out your answer. Okay, I hear a multitude of answers, but I don't think I heard any easies. I heard some hard. I heard some both. I heard some, you know, depends on the day. Actually, I didn't hear that, but whatever. But we talk about the Christian life, and we do talk about how hard it is, how it's a struggle sometimes. How we have to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus, how we have to die to ourselves, how we have to give up our attachment to possessions. But I want to posit something to you this morning that perhaps actually the Christian life is easy, but we haven't understood it properly. Just go with me. I promise that's not heresy. We're going to unpack that a little bit. I want to suggest that we can experience a Copernican revolution in our understanding of our relationship with God and our walk with God and how we approach life and others as well. So don't worry, I'll share some balancing thoughts at the end, but just go with me for a little bit. What if the Christian life were easier than sometimes we tend to make it? Okay? So let's dive into our text. Little background on 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is an epistle, a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, and it's actually thought to be at least the third letter that Paul wrote to Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, he had to straighten out the Corinthian church quite a lot, and in 2 Corinthians, it becomes clear that Paul has undergone some deep, deep testing and pain. He's gone through some struggle. And one passage where this comes out is in chapter 12. So in chapter 12, Paul is speaking about some revelations that God has given him. And it's in that context that he says, starting in the middle of verse 7, he says, "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" Or some translations, "My power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Can we say amen? Amen. Amen. So Paul explains this thorn in the flesh that the Lord has allowed him to receive in order to keep him humble. And there's, you know, many different people have different theories about what the thorn in the flesh is. Maybe it's some sort of physical malady. Maybe it's faulty eyesight. Maybe it's mental illness. Maybe it's an emotional struggle. Maybe it's depression. Many different things. Paul doesn't exactly spell it out, but one thing he is clear about is it is a messenger of Satan, that this is an evil force from the enemy. But interestingly, God has allowed this to happen in order to keep him humble. And Paul has learned the lesson that when he is weak, that is when God is strong in him. Yes, sir. Amen? Amen. He says, in the very moment of weakness, he says, when I am weak, not when I am weak, then I will become strong. But when I am weak, then in that very moment of weakness, I am strong. And this is the paradox that I think we have to wrestle with today. So my suggestion is that maybe the Christian life is easier than we sometimes made it because of this reason. That it is not we who are doing the work, it's God who does the work through us. Amen? Amen? Now that sounds pretty basic, pretty, you know, Sunday School 101, but let's unpack it a little bit more, and I think we can grasp something really special this morning. So a good story of God's sustaining grace is the story of Eric Liddell. You've probably heard it before. Eric Liddell was a Scottish athlete who competed in the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris. And because of his devout Christian beliefs, when he found out about 6 months before the games that the 100-meter dash was supposed to be run on a Sunday, he switched his event from the 100-meter to the 400-meter race so that he could still honor Sunday as a Sabbath. So if you know track or running or just physical exercise in general, you can imagine that's actually a pretty drastic change, especially only 6 months before the Olympics. To go from 100 meters to 400 meters is really hard. They are very different races. But he felt that God was compelling him to honor the Sabbath and stay true to his convictions. So, as the story goes, he actually went on to win the gold medal in the 400 meters at the Olympics. Yeah, it's amazing. He's known for saying, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but God also made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." Isn't that awesome? So when he was later asked what his strategy was for the 400 meters, he is held to have said this: "For the first 200 meters, I give it everything I've got, and then I trust God for the last 200 meters." Now again, if you've done anything close to a race, you know from an earthly standpoint, that's a bad strategy. to go all out and to deplete all of your energy by the first half of the race, that is not a good strategy. But that is a great picture of God sustaining grace. When in our very weakness, he gives us the strength to keep going. So how might this Christian life be a little bit easier than we sometimes make it? I want to propose a paradox to you. Think about it this way. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Right? Yet a few chapters later, Jesus also says, "Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how is it that on the one hand Jesus can say be perfect? That sounds like a pretty tall order, right? That sounds kind of difficult. Yet on the other hand he says my yoke is easy. And this is what I think the answer is. It's because he's the one who lifts the yoke with us. If you think about a yoke, it's meant for two animals, right? Or in the case of this metaphor, two people. And I think God is saying to us today, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, it's my strength. I'm here to lift the heavy yoke with you. You don't have to do it alone. My yoke is easy. Not because it might not be heavy sometimes, but because you don't have to lift it by yourself. He says, I want to lift it with you. It's God's grace working in and through us to be his people in the world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says to the church, I worked harder than any of the apostles, but it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Isn't that an amazing statement? He said, that it sounds boastful, right? I worked harder than y'all, right? But it wasn't me, it was the grace of God with me. He realized where his strength was coming from. And I have a hunch that maybe too many Christians are burnt out trying to be Christians because they haven't figured out the right way to be Christians. That it's not our strength. It's his strength. It's his grace. It's his energy. We need to learn how to let him do the work. I was driving several years back and my power steering went out. If this has happened to you, you know what it's like to try to steer a car without the help of power steering fluid, right? It's hard, it's arduous, it's tiring. So my question is, this morning, are you trying to steer the Christian life without power steering fluid? Right? God's grace is the power steering fluid that empowers our work and strengthens our hands. What does Moses say in Psalm 90? He says, establish the work of our hands, O Lord. Establish the work of our hands. He realizes that we put our hand to the plow, but it's God who gives us grace to push it. Amen? God puts a door in front of us, and he gives us the grace to go through it. So if we are to be his people, I believe we must give in to his way of doing things. And his way of doing things says, I will give you grace. Amen? Interestingly, the people of Israel didn't fail to fulfill God's law because they did wrong things. Rather, they failed to fulfill God's law because they didn't trust God. In Romans 10, Paul says, Israel, who strove for the righteousness that is based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling the law. Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. He says they didn't approach it with the right perspective. They didn't pursue God on the basis of faith. Why is faith important? Jesus says in John 6, he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. And I believe this is the work of God because when we believe in Jesus, he fills us with his life. He fills us with his energy. He fills us with his grace. Jesus says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. He says, I've prepared a table for you. Will you dine with me? Jesus has provided the table and the meal, and all we have to do is taste and see that the Lord is good. And his goodness takes root in our heart, and it works its way out through our hands and our feet and our mouths and our minds. Amen? I think that's how Jesus can say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think about this. How is it that Jesus says in one portion of Scripture, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world, but then in another passage, Matthew chapter 5, he says to us disciples, you are the light of the world. Have you ever thought about that? Those two verses coexisting side by side. Which one is it? Is he the light or are we the light? And I think the answer is this. The only way that we can be his light is because it's his light shining through us. Amen. We're nothing but mirrors. We're just a mirror. It's not our light. It's not our grace, it's not our strength, it's his. And he shines down upon us and we reflect it to the world around us. It's not us, it is he who does the work. It's he who gives us energy. He's the one working in and through us, sanctifying us to be a vessel for his glory. He's the one doing it in and through us. This is the crux of the gospel. I really believe that. Listen, the Christian life is not about trying to be good. That's not the point. That's merely a side effect of following Christ. When we follow Jesus, what does Paul say? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He says, you got to wrestle through it. You got to wrestle through it, but it's God working in and through you. And it's God's grace in you and through you. Now, the more we get this, I think the lighter our yoke gets. The lighter our burden gets, because we realize, listen, I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to be a good Christian. I just have to follow Jesus. He'll make me a good Christian. He's better at it than I am, right? The more we learn to rely on God's grace, the more that he bears his good fruit in and through us. So I have my own story of God giving me strength. And interestingly, this also has to do with running. I was in college. I had just finished my sophomore year of college. And truth be told, it was kind of a hard season of life. I was really wrestling with my faith. There were just some circumstances that were getting me down. And a lot was up in the air at that point. But one thing that was not up in the air was I had to take a PE class over the summer. I had one class a day, every day of the week for a month at 7 a.m. Isn't that a splendid summer schedule? So every day I would wake up at 6 something and get over to the school and take my PE class. And this PE class had a series of physical tests for grades. And one of the tests, so they had things like push-ups, sit-ups. One of the tests was the infamous run test. And this was infamous because it was very hard to get an A on the run test. To get an A on the run test, you had to run a mile and a half in 9 minutes and 40 seconds. So if you've ever tried to run a mile, you realize that's not too slow, right? That's a pretty good pace. You can run a mile, but it's that last half mile that will kill you. So 9 minutes and 40 seconds. And for one reason or another, I determined it in my heart that I was going to beat that run test. I said, I'm going to take this. I'm going to win. I'm not going to let it get me. So outside of class time, I trained. I ran pretty much every day. And the day came for that run test. And coach took us out to the track. And he had his stopwatch. And he yelled, go. And I went. And no one passed me for the whole race. And it got to the last 200 meters of the last lap. And I just gave it everything I had. I had no watch. I had no idea what the time was. I just gave it everything I had. I crossed the finish line and stopped and bent over and caught my breath. And I look back at coach. And he looks and he goes, whoa, that's amazing. 9:40 on the dot. I knew at that moment that was a gift from the Lord. He knew what was in my heart. He knew what I really wanted. And he gave me the grace to do what I definitely couldn't do on my own. And, you know, that's obviously a fun and simple example. But here's the point. I think God wants to empower us to do the impossible. Things that are not within our realm of ability, he wants to empower us to do. And I think that to get to his impossible, we have to come to the end of our possible. We have to release what we can do in our strength, and we have to say, God, you got to help me. You got to help me do this. And when we do that, when we release our possible, we can receive his impossible. We can receive his power to do things that we could never do on our own. One of my favorite passages of scripture, and I think it contains Pastor Steve's favorite verse as well, is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. So it's very clear, we're saved by grace. We're prepared for good works. And so, interestingly, there's not a dichotomy between grace and works there. I like to think of it this way. It's not grace or works. It's grace for works. Is that clicking? God gives us grace. He prepared from the beginning of time good works for us to do. Do you think as a good and loving Heavenly Father, he then says at that point, all right, go do it on your own. I'm not going to help you. He doesn't call us to assignments. He doesn't give us tasks without also empowering us for that task. He gives us grace for works. It's all God's grace. It's God's grace sustaining us. It's God's grace giving us energy to work hard. It's God's grace lifting the yoke with us. It's God's grace working in and through us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's all God's grace, his amazing, sustaining grace. It's his grace that works in us. And here's the deal. I think this is what the Lord is calling us to today and every day, is that in order to receive this grace, we have to be in a posture of submission. We have to say, God, I'm not going to try to do this in my own strength. I'm going to allow you to help me. We have to realize that God isn't going to force himself upon us. We have to say, God, would you do your work on me? Would you help me? I must admit, I have not always lived this way. And I must admit as well, even as a pastor, I haven't always lived this way. I've tried to do things in my own strength, and it just doesn't work. I can say from experience, it just doesn't work. And so it might sound kind of funny coming from the pulpit, but I apologize. To you as a church congregation, sometimes I have not been as good of a pastor as I could be because I've been trying to do it in my own strength. I've been trying to do God's work for him. And he's here today and he wants to say, I want to lift the yoke with you. I'm going to call you to a task. I'm going to call you to an assignment, and I will empower you to complete it. So maybe you've never experienced this amazing sustaining grace. Maybe you've been in church for 40 years, but you've never experienced the revolutionary power of a transformed heart. I believe that God wants to encounter you with this sustaining grace today to change your heart and write his law on your mind. I really believe there's a distinct possibility that there are people here who have been Christians for a long time, but have been carrying a yoke that is not theirs to carry. If the Christian life is arduous and it sucks all your energy, there's probably something not quite right about how you're approaching Jesus. Because to be clear, I want to be very clear, the Christian life at points is hard. We do go through struggles. We do go through difficulties. There are reports of cancer that never gets healed. There are tragedies. We do experience those things. But here's the key. These are the times when we can lean into Jesus and lean into his sustaining grace and say, Jesus, this burden is too heavy for me. I can't carry it alone. Would you please carry it with me? And when we take that posture of receiving, think of it that way. It's as if we've been given the challenge to lift 1,000 pounds, right? Think of the big barbells and the weight. And the person giving us the challenge says, you have to squat that at least 3 times, and either you can do it alone or I can help you do it entirely. It's a no-brainer, right? We let him help us. We let God help us. We receive his grace and allow him to empower us. So I'm going to invite the worship team back to the platform. And I just want us to pause and think about, is there some area of our life where we're not allowing God to empower us with his sustaining grace? Paul said, I will boast about my weaknesses because it is in that very moment of weakness that I am strong. And if you're feeling weak today, I really believe God wants to give you some power steering fluid. I really believe God wants to empower you. And all we have to do, our part, all we have to do is receive it and say, all right, God, I've been trying to do this on my own for a long time, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to allow you to strengthen my hands. I'm going to allow you to establish the work of my hands. I'm going to allow you to do through me what I could never do on my own. I'm going to allow you to give me confidence and courage. I'm going to allow you to heal this broken relationship. I'm going to allow you to break this addiction in my life. I'm going to allow you to do what I could never do on my own. I really believe that's what the Lord wants to do today. So we're going to enter into a time of worship. And as we do, I just want to invite everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask very simply, whether you've experienced this before, perhaps you've never experienced it, but if you just want an infusion today of God's sustaining grace, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand if you need God's sustaining grace in your life? Amen. Amen. Just keep your hand up and I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for my sisters and brothers here who need your sustaining grace. Lord, we do go through difficulties. We go through trials. We struggle, Lord. But I really believe that sometimes we make it more difficult than it actually is. Jesus, you have provided the power. Your death and resurrection has unlocked a force of energy that can empower us to do things that we could never do on our own. Lord, you are the God of miracles. You are the God of resurrection. You are the God of new life springing up from dead ground. Lord, you are the God who can heal things that have been broken for years. You are the God who is able to bring us out of the tomb. You are the God who is able to bring restoration and healing. Lord, for those who need a shot of your sustaining, amazing grace today, I pray that you would fill them. I pray that you would break bondages. I pray that you would break addiction. I pray that you would heal relationships, Lord God. I pray that you would heal specifically the bondage of trying to do things in our own strength. Lord, the bondage of perfectionism, trying to be perfect apart from your grace. Lord, the bondage of religion, of trying to be a good Christian without the help of the Christ. Lord, help us. We need your help today. Lord, would you break in a mighty way? And by the end of today, would we be able to say with Paul, when I am weak, then, in that very moment, at that time, I am strong. Be our strength today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.